In this video, I'm going to give you 3 tips to get people to agree with you when you disagree. So I've been in many situations where there's been a group of engineers, software engineers, hardware engineers, disagreeing about how to do something. I've been in situations working with remote teams where there's just these opinions. No, it can't be done that way. It shouldn't be done that way. It needs to be done that way. You know, even where the CEO has been disagreeing with the engineering team, and it is hard work. And usually it ends by someone pulling rank, where they basically slap down and say, this is how we're doing it because I say so. So in this video, I'm going to give us 3 tips. 3 tips at how to get people to agree with you. So first of all, let's say you're, could be a one-to-one, could be in a group, and you want something to be done a certain way, or you want a certain decision to be made. And like someone is going the opposite direction to the way you want, and boom, like you feel your heart racing, and you're like, oh, you know, I must tell them, no, that's not the right way of doing it, no, but calm down, it's okay. The first thing you must do, the first thing is listen. Let them speak. Politicians are generally terrible at this. And it's, you ever watch politicians discussing and they never really answer anything and they never really change each other's mind? When you realize their job is purely to set opinion to those who are watching, not to win an argument. So we don't have that luxury when we are in a work environment, in a startup environment. We need to make a decision because things go wrong if we don't. So listen, let them speak. Let them say what they have to say, why they've come to their conclusion that it's better. Now, something may happen in that time. You may stop and think, oh, I hadn't thought of that. And then you start playing that through your mind and you're like, okay, yeah, I see it from a different perspective now, and maybe I'm not so confident that I was right in the end. And guess what? You've grown, you've learned, you've let someone else give you information you didn't have before, and now you can agree with them, or partially agree with them. But that doesn't always happen, and it doesn't always happen for 2 reasons. One, that person may not have clarified why they are right. They may hold information, or they may have a feeling and don't actually understand why they're right, but their gut says they're right and they may actually be right, but they can't articulate it, or they're withholding that for reasons that they may feel like they shouldn't have to explain it, or for reasons that they don't know that it needs explaining, that they assume that everyone else isn't on the same page as they are, but it's not always the case. So what you can do with that time is ask questions about your specific objections as to why you think it doesn't work. Don't say things like, it's not going to work, it's just not going to work, or people won't like that. Remove opinion, because opinion can always be disagreed with, because other people have equally important opinions, and no one opinion is greater than the other until someone pulls rank. What you have is an agreement of either facts or lack of facts. So if you've got an objection and you think, but it's not going to work because it doesn't fit with this and it's going to cause a problem with that, don't say it won't work because of this. Say, okay, what happens when it interacts with the Flux widget or whatever? Because I think it's going to perform worse, or I think it's going to be incompatible. How would we solve that? Use the word we, not you, your team, you work together. How would we get that to work? Let them go through that. Hopefully they say, oh, it won't be a problem. No, hopefully they'll say, well, it would, okay, we'd need to consider this, this, and this. Okay, well, that's going to be more complicated. Like, what you've done is you've taken their sphere of knowledge about why they're right. You've expanded their knowledge to include these other things where your objections lie. And they can realize that maybe they need to change their perspective a little. They may be able to solve your objection. And then you feel a bit happier that your concern has been addressed and that they've understood your concern and that they've managed to solve that concern. So that would be great. Or they may start unwinding their firm standpoint that they are right and move from their being rightness to being maybe they weren't so right because now they have a piece of information that is new. And the important thing is, new information allows you to change your mind, not be wrong from before. I've literally had this where an architect said to me, he said, I find it really odd. You were saying that would never happen. And now you're saying we need it, but you said you'd never need it. It wouldn't happen. And I said to him, I said, but I didn't know what I know now back then. And now that I know more, I'm allowed to change my mind. And you have to recognize everybody is allowed to change their mind when they have new information. And either that or they can admit they were just wrong. But generally, they admit they're wrong because they had lack of information, lack of context, lack of perspective. So by allowing the person who you're trying to come over to your way of thinking to expand their knowledge through questions, they start solving the problem. Therefore, they start believing in the solution and they can take credit for that. And it's a hard thing. Someone will say, oh, yeah, actually, yeah, we'll do it this way. Oh, well, aren't I good? I'm really good. I've solved this problem, right? And you're thinking, you do know that's my idea that you've just stolen there, right? Don't worry about that because your game that you're playing is not for ideas, is the meta game of influencing people so that they can find a solution. If your mission is to find a solution, don't worry about the ideas. You can take credit for allowing the conversation to evolve to let a solution come, and then you can work as a team. Make sure you recognize that. Make sure that your managers recognize what you're doing, because if you're going for a promotion or something like that, you don't want other people getting a promotion when actually you're the one who helped everything come to be. You know, that's a skill set, and you want recognition for that. So that is the second thing, is asking very specific questions to state your objections that are based on facts and understanding. They may change your mind by addressing your concerns, or you may expand their understanding to move them away from their kind of specific standpoint or stubborn opinion. And the third thing you can do is make people accountable for their decisions. So maybe you end up where you can't agree on the right thing because there's not enough facts to know what's right. And actually, you know, startups, this happens all the time where, oh, I think we should be doing this style campaign on Facebook. No, we should be doing influencer marketing. That's definitely the right way to go. Or actually, I think we should be doing content marketing, and we're doing that for 6 months. And you've only got the time and the resource to do one of those things. How do you agree when you fundamentally you've got your own belief systems? There's not enough facts to know what the right thing is. Actually, a common one is users don't do that. They'll want this. We must do this. Everybody will want to do this. And like, it'll be hard when you haven't got users to know what users do. So the third thing that you can do to come to an agreement is allow failure for decisions, but with the condition that you've stated how you are going to measure whether that decision was correct, that opinion was correct or not, what time frame you are going to allow for that decision to take, and what the success criteria is for knowing whether it was the right decision or not. And challenge someone who's immovable in their decision, in their opinion, in this discussion, challenge them to answer those three questions. How are you going to measure? When are you going to measure? And what is the success criteria? And then they become accountable for making sure that that happens. It's okay for them to not meet that success criteria, but that means that at a given time, you have the data, you have the results of that data, and that's when you conclude who was right and who was wrong. And then, maybe then, you go back to the drawing board and you try your way of doing things. It's the long game, but it's the only way you can move forward, because you'll fall out of love working with things if you just continually feel like someone else is winning and your opinion, your ideas are being suffocated and you just aren't being heard. But what you can take excitement from is watching people's ideas play out. And quite frankly, you might be surprised that they were right. You might see data come out of it that changes your mindset, or you might get the respite at when it fails. They accept that failure. They say they were wrong. I hope they will say they're wrong. If they try and weasel out of it, then there's only so much you can do, but the facts will lie there. They are either right or they're wrong at meeting that success criteria through what they decided. And you can take comfort that through all of that, you got closure, that everybody went with their decision in the end, but they were wrong, but it was a recognized wrong. That not that you were there, continue to believe that they were wrong, but nobody else can see it, nobody else believes it. It's black and white by that point. The only catch, the only gotcha is that people fail to measure things correctly, fail to get the analytics or get the data, and they kind of conclude things in a wishy-washy way that really comes down to opinion because you didn't get the data. And call that out if it happens and say, look, we set the objective of measuring this and we failed to measure it. We can't even conclude whether we were good or bad. That's terrible, especially if you're a startup. If you don't even know whether you're doing good or bad, you need to call that out. And that's a whole separate discussion at being able to know whether you're half living or half dying, right? As a company, as a way of getting metrics. And that needs fixing. Facebook shut down any new development for 2 weeks or something, just to get their tracking, their analytics, and all of that in place so that they could measure the difference between A-B tests and all those kind of things, because that's what they needed to make decisions and it's what they needed to move forward. And companies need to do that in that case to prove whether you can actually understand whether decisions that were made were right or wrong. And you'll be happier when you know that closure happens, and hopefully you won't get that far, that through these other techniques of listening, either changing your mindset because you got new information, or being able to give those specific objections to allow them to come around to your way of thinking. A science teacher said to my parents in high school, on a parents' evening, she said, Martin needs to ask more questions. And that's probably the single most important thing that has contributed to the success of who I am and how I work, is that I never say I'm right. I never say you're wrong. I just ask questions, because I'm going to take the default standpoint. I'm wrong. I just don't see it yet. How do I know whether that's true, and how do I know what's right? I have to learn. And learning involves asking questions. It's a great diffuser at moving away from opinion-based and argumentative at more of a constructive learning-based discussion. And it helps allow people to have an understanding of where each other are in terms of their understanding of the problem. And you can get up that chain and start understanding. So if ever you meet me, the only thing I will probably do is just ask lots of questions, and then I'll give my opinion and things like that, but only after listening. And after I've given my opinion or given my advice or my feedback, after that, I will follow up with more questions. And usually it's like, how do you feel about what I've just said there? I'm trying to understand where we are in terms of our understanding so we can get to an agreement and actually build something constructive out of it. So I hope that has been helpful. This technique has always paid in dividends to me through my career. When I left one of my previous employments, I worked for Ericsson as a UI architect, and I'd be in lots of those difficult, opinionated, long discussions between front-end web developers doing configuration management to hardware engineers based on what, and you had to decide who basically is going to get the really difficult challenge, because do the hardware engineers do all the hard work, or does it all happen in the UI? And you have to, like, my job smack bang in the middle, and there was lots of disagreements, and I loved those meetings. I have to say I took a sick pleasure in them, because I listened, I used the time to construct my thoughts. I never let anything go if I needed to discuss it. I would even meet people after the meeting and have a one-to-one and ask those questions of objections. So when I left, my development manager, he managed probably about 150 people in front of the group, the kind of leaving speech. He said, and those discussions in those meetings where everybody wasn't disagreeing, Martin would be there sitting, listening with a smile on his face. And I realized that what I was doing worked. It was the right thing to do. He noticed it. And we built better products out of it, and I made really good relationships with the team at both levels. And I loved that environment. There was nobody who I didn't like working with. There were some prickly characters, make no mistake, but they were just new challenges, right? I appreciate not everyone has that level of confidence to do that in their work. I'm hoping to address that in other videos. Like, how I used to be painfully shy when I was in school, and I want to reflect on how I overcame that to be more confident. I'm not overly confident. I still get shy every so often, but there are things that I've done to overcome that, and I'll be sharing that in other videos. And I think you need to work on that to be able to use this technique as well. So if you want to see that content when that comes up, make sure you hit that subscribe button and you don't miss out. If you like this video, give it a thumbs up. And leave your thoughts below. And if you want to have a conversation, if you've got some questions, you want to follow up on this, hit me up on Twitter, and we'll take from there. So as always, I hope you've loved this video, and I'll catch you in the next one.